Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio, but these are my favorite. These are the thought leader radio episodes where we talk to the best and the brightest doing the most interesting things all around the world. Katie.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good one.
It definitely is.
Welcome, Jessica McNaughton. Jessica, yeah. McNaughton with and Kim Loftus, both with Kara Green. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
So I guess, Jessica, why don't you share a little bit about Kara Green? How are you serving folks?
Sure. So Kara Green is a building products distributor that brings sustainable products to market. So there's this whole swath of materials out there that people really don't know a lot about. And we offer a couple different channels to take those products and bring them to market. And a lot of our materials have high recycled content, or they're sourced locally, or they have a good sustainability story, and they're materials that you can feel really good about using in your renovation projects or new construction or in your own home.
Now, is your customer the end user, or is it kind of architects or builders or developers?
Sure. So in some ways, it's all of the above. So we have some products that a homeowner themselves can install, like insulation made from recycled blue jeans, or countertops and cladding made out of recycled paper that homeowners can cut themselves and install themselves. Well, we have some other products that require more specialized trades, but are used frequently in commercial settings and are often specified by kind of savvy architects and designers that are kind of privy to these new upcoming materials.
And how did you get into this line of work?
That's a very good question. I started out as an electrical engineer working at IBM, and then over time I just kind of wanted to try something with a startup, and I've really enjoyed that part of this business. Some of these materials are really innovative, and there's a lot of technology behind them to take waste and things that are ruining the environment and repurpose those into usable building products, and we're really excited to be part of that movement.
But your firm is both a B2B firm and a B2C firm? Is that right?
It is, yes.
So now how do you manage both sides of that? Because they kind of have different, at least marketing strategies and education strategies behind either one of those, both of those.
Yeah. So, the marketing path has changed a lot over time for us. It used to be that, you know, a lot of our marketing was going into architect and design firms and presenting these materials to them, where the homeowner was kind of more boots on the ground. You had to increase awareness, more at the street level. And what we found now with social media platforms like Instagram, Pinterest, and Houzz, you can hit both at the same time. So homeowners are finding us on those social media platforms as we promote these really great brands. And they're also finding, we're also finding now that architects and designers are using those same platforms to get visual inspiration, and they're finding our products that way as well.
Now, do you find that you're the kind of curator of these funky materials that maybe people haven't heard about yet, and then you're kind of looking?
Yeah, we find that people are now finding us, which is really exciting. We've kind of got to a point where, you know, people are seeking us out because they know that we know how to take these brands and get them to market, and that we can take products that might be a little bit more expensive than something else, but we know how to highlight the features of them that really make them bring more value to the end consumer or to the end, you know, contractor or ultimately building owner.
What was the first material that was kind of an out-of-the-box material that maybe the public wasn't aware of that you were able to kind of make them aware and start disseminating?
Yeah, I think that I would say in a lot of ways, most of the products that we carry have that sort of background. I would say most notably Paperstone has this stigma around it that it's paper and therefore it's fragile, but it's an incredibly durable material, very workable. It's warm to the touch. It's made out of recycled paper and it holds up like stone, and you can cut it yourself. So it takes out all that intense labor. It takes out the need for a stone fabricator. Remodelers can do it. Homeowners themselves can do it. The applications for it are really endless. And we've used social media to get the workability of Paperstone out there by showing it in applications like guitars, knife handles, skate ramps, countertops, benches, exterior cladding. It really is one of the most workable materials out there, and it's really one of the most durable as well. And we've really been able to take that. We've been able to, you know, take that marketing for them and really bring them to market in a different way.
Do you find it's underused or maybe underappreciated by the public right now, or it's becoming more popular?
Yeah, it's becoming more popular, but there really is kind of a lack of awareness, and there's this stigma around the word paper. But if people really understood that that paper had been enhanced to capture a durability like stone. So the beauty of the paper is that it's been evolved into stone using a petroleum-free resin, which again in itself is not using a finite resource. So it really is an amazing material, and it's just a lack of awareness. But we really think that we've tackled some of that, and we're going to keep doing that until people really understand, you know, just how versatile paper stone is.
Now, are you finding that this sustainable design is becoming more and more a must-have rather than a nice-to-have?
Yes, I think we are. And I think that what happened was when sustainability first came to the market, it came to the market under LEED, which is Leadership in Environmental and Energy Design. And that was a building standard that people tried to achieve, but there was no data behind it. And it really was all about the building. There's been a major shift lately around sustainability where the focus is now on human health and occupant, you know, health and well-being. And when you turn the focus from buildings to people and it's still about sustainability, that really makes it more personal and more people are jumping on board because they know it's about their own productivity, their employee productivity, healthy hospitals, healthy schools, and ultimately healthy students. And I think that when you bring your children into it, people have a lot more emotion around that. So sustainability, when it comes to, you know, bringing health into a workplace, has really kind of started to drive that movement now that you've coupled green building with health.
And isn't there still a positive ROI equation to be made for healthier buildings and using sustainable materials?
Absolutely. And I would recommend anyone look into biophilic design and some of the data that back up biophilic design. Biophilic design is about bringing nature into a space and really kind of reconnecting people inside of a building to nature. And there are tons of studies that show hospital stays are shorter. Absenteeism is way down. You know, there are employee productivity is through the roof, and ultimately retail sales are through the roof. So there's multiple studies in these biophilic studies that show that the return is immediate. So, that is very different than when it was LEED and all about the building. These costs are costs that you're going to realize immediately just by incorporating some biophilic design principles into your space. And that is most notably the building materials and those things that you can point to and say, this is made out of recycled glass. This is made out of recycled paper. This building cladding breaks down pollution. Those things tell a really great story.
Now, we're talking about recycled products. There's now just more and more recycled products pretty much for almost everything nowadays. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's actually interesting that you bring that up because there's been a massive shift in the recycling, I would say, consumer. So all of our recycling, not all of it, most of it, used to get shipped to China. So there's product categories where most of U.S. recycling would all get shipped to China. China has recently banned several streams of recycling from coming across their borders, which means that people are now shutting down recycling plants or refusing to recycle certain plastics in municipalities and states and cities. And we're actually cutting back on what we recycle now, and this is effective as of the first of the year. So it's of paradigm importance now more than ever that we start creating these materials and start demanding these materials that use recycled content, because we don't have a place for our recycling to go anymore. We can't sell it to China or have China dump it for us. So we really need to look home and look at ourselves and find ways that we can start using products with more recycled content, because you can find things with recycled content, but I would call it far from ubiquitous.
But do you think that we're on a path to make it more ubiquitous? Like, we almost have to be, right? It's a must. We kind of have to be. If they're not going to take it, like, what else are we going to do with it?
That is what we have to do. And we are right in the middle of that catastrophe. And I don't even think it is started to materialize yet. I think you will start to, I don't think the consumer is going to realize it until their bill from the city comes in and they go, oh my gosh, what happened? It doubled. And it's going to double because these facilities can't recycle efficiently anymore because China also requires a lower contamination level. So all these recycling facilities now have to increase, you know, their investment into making sure that clean product is coming out of these recycling facilities. So they're having to invest more and they don't have the end consumer. So, you know, you've kind of got these two things that are happening at the same time. We're going to have all this waste and we're going to have demand for it. So you're right, but this is just happening now and this is just coming to the forefront now. And it's a major issue. If you Google China and recycling, there's at least 10 or 15 articles a day on it.
And but so you're saying that it's something that they're not going to find a solution until it's a bigger problem. And right now we're at the beginning of the problem. And usually these things don't get solved until
I believe that is the case. And I think we need to create more products that demand more use of the recycled content. And we have an entire presentation that we do for architects and designers, and it's called Waste as a Resource. And it really looks at this problem in depth. And talks about what we need to do because we are just a building products distributor, but we are waving this flag and we are really trying to help drive this initiative and get more people on board with what we call, our initiative is called Create Better. And it really is to look at waste as a resource and look at buildings that give back to the environment instead of take from it.
What are some of the examples of the waste that can be recycled in a building?
Sure. So there's a product that's made in Brooklyn, New York, and it's called Ice Stone, and it's actually recycled glass. So wine bottles, beer bottles, things like that, put into a concrete slab that can be used as a countertop. The paper stone is recycled paper. So, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of paper is recycled, and paper stone takes that paper and they make countertop surfaces, building cladding out of it. Durat is a great, it's designed out of Finland, but it's made here in the USA, and it takes recycled plastic and it puts it into a solid surface. And it's beautiful, and you know, you can make these beautiful seamless countertops out of it. What's that? And Cure is another product. Cure has a product called Echo Panel. It's an acoustic panel. Everyone knows with these office plans, these open floor plans that everyone has now, acoustics are a major issue. So Echo Panel has put together recycled PET plastic bottles. So they take recycled plastic bottles and they turn them into acoustic panels. And they're beautiful. They come in tons of shapes, tons of colors, tons of sizes. And those are, you know, kind of off the shelf, ready to use. Now, and you know, acoustics problems are everywhere. So Echo Panel is a great solution for that.
And that's a underappreciated, I think, thing that's the acoustics. Cause like our office is in a open environment, like you're saying. And in some areas it's loud and echoey and kind of, it jolts you. Whereas you can go into other places, they've kind of got it quiet.
Yeah, exactly. And what everyone's doing is, you know, there's no carpet anymore, so you don't have that soft surface.
Right.
You know, a lot of places will have that, you know, that concrete floor for that industrial look, and it introduces acoustic problems. And mentioning biophilic design, which a lot of our products are, you know, specifically aligned with those biophilic principles, Cure's Echo Panel is a great example because acoustics are one of the biggest issues in employee productivity and, again, employee health, is having good acoustics in a space makes for far more productive employees.
And then you can still have good acoustics and it can still look good. It doesn't have to look like those sound panels or.
Yeah, it looks really good. I mean, they make these panels where they do custom cuts. They can incorporate your logo. You know, they can CNC shapes into them. They make hanging screens that can, you know, be suspended or be on a track system. So there's just so many options for what you can do with that material. And at the end of the day, the fact that it's recycled plastic bottles, it's something you can point to and feel good about as well.
And it's one of those things where it's recycled bottles, but you would have no idea that it's recycled bottles until someone tells you, right?
No, a lot of people think that it's felt because there are much more expensive felt products out there on the market. But because it's recycled plastic bottles, it's more rigid and there's just a lot more that you can do with it.
And that's one thing about our products, too, that we really love. They're sustainable and they have recycled content, but they don't look like some kitschy version of a recycled product. They're all really beautiful selections. And when we present these to architects and designers, they have a hard time deciding what is their favorite or going to use because they like so many of what we present. So we kind of have that luxury of, you know, having beautiful, sustainable products that are easy on the eyes and easy to use and incorporate into multiple applications.
It's one of those things where maybe back in the day when something was recycled, it kind of looked recycled, but now these are really transformed. It goes beyond recycling, really. They're really transforming these things into other things that are you can use as if they're brand new.
Exactly.
So now there was a trend a while ago about granite and these kind of natural stones. Are you seeing that trend kind of going into more recycled and getting away from that?
So the trend, we see a lot because we are in the commercial space and we work with a lot of architects and designers, and they're looking at projects that are maybe 3 or 4 years down the road. So granite as a look is dated. So most people aren't putting granite in as new anymore. And a lot of people are putting quartz in. And the problem with quartz is the patent on that expired, and all of a sudden, you know, there's 300 Chinese quartz manufacturers. Nobody knows what's actually in it. I've had people tell me that they've got quartz sitting in their yard. They left it out in the rain, and part of it etched away and got washed away because there was some filler in it that wasn't supposed to be there. So that market has really got muddied, and the price has come way down. So quartz is now a commodity as well. So we think that has really opened up the door for the category of products that we call modern surfaces, and that is these products with recycled content. But it's also products that are the next generation of man-made stone, which is sintered stone. And the product category leader there is a company called Lapitech. And Lapitech has a product that actually it can kill staph and E. coli on its surface, and it can break down pollution. So if you use it as a building, an exterior cladding, and you clad a building in Lapitech, it basically functions like a forest. So 100 square meters of Lapitech is the equivalent of 26 to 28 trees in the amount of carbon dioxide that it can break down. So it is designed specifically for the next generation of products. It's used in a lot of kitchens. It holds up to heat. It can be used in outdoor kitchens because it won't fade and or yellow under UV light. So really, products like Lapitech are what's next. So if you're ripping out granite, I would just jump over the quartz and go straight to a sintered stone like Lapitech, because it is going to outperform everything.
Is it being embraced by the public?
You know, it's kind of a, it's new to the market. The whole category is new to the market. So it's in the same place that quartz was maybe 10 or 15 years ago, where everyone says, what is this stuff? I've never seen this before. How do you cut it? So, you know, and we're having to go out and really meet with those people and say, look, it's not that hard. And we go through the process of getting them certified. So Lapitech has been really smart about how they've gone to market. They've gone out and they've found fabricators that want to get certified and truly learn how to cut the material. And now you're going to get your high-end designers and your consumers that are savvy to sintered stone, and they're starting to ask for it. The fabricators are going to get on board, and it's really going to take off. But it's right at that kind of precipice, right? It's right at the tipping point where it's going to take off. So it's the first movers that are going to, you know, take advantage of, you know, the upside on the sintered stones at this point.
And I would say, as far as some of the consumers that we typically talk to about Lapitech, one of the first things that everybody asks us about a kitchen countertop is, can I put my hot pot down on it? And we always say no, 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 you can't do that. Lapitech is the first material that we can say yes to. So it's, you know, in that way, it's definitely well received by the public, because they can do anything to it and they know they're not going to harm their countertop.
Now, when do you go to a lot of trade shows? Is that how you find all these new stuff?
Like I said, we actually got to the point where the new stuff kind of comes to us now. My personal opinion is there is not a great trade show for building materials today. We used to go to Green Build, and that was where everything was. It's not Green Build anymore. We've gone to the Kitchen and Bath Show. But again, you've got these big players like Kohler and, you know, Cosentino and DuPont, and they just take over the whole space, and you can't find those guys. So they don't even bother showing up anymore. And quartz has really taken over those shows as far as a surfacing material goes. So it kind of turns into my booth's bigger than your booth, and we just don't even play that game. So we find our products, usually we find them in magazines, we find them online, someone recommends them. Architects and designers are constantly reaching out to us to say, hey, I saw this material, I can't get it here. And that's when we go to that company and try to give them, you know, kind of a wider channel to market. So, you know, it's usually people coming to us with those new products, or we ask architects and designers, is there a material that you've seen that you think, you know, we should bring into our portfolio?
Are you going out to shows, though, to speak or to conferences to speak about the importance of this and how to use some of this newer materials?
Sure. We do attend a lot of conferences just to get industry knowledge. We participate in a lot of trade associations, sit on the board of some of those associations, you know, to kind of get that knowledge and to be a voice of the alternatives to granite in quartz. And that's what I really think that we are. So, you know, we do go to trade shows. I personally find them much better for networking than I do for, you know, getting leads or business. But yeah, that's we usually go to kind of ferret out information and network.
Now, what's been the most rewarding part of running this company for you?
The most rewarding part for me has been the people that I work with. I mean, we have hired this team and the dynamic is so good. You know, we're really supportive of each other in our work, in our personal lives. We all have a really good dynamic. We're constantly laughing. Sometimes we're crying. You know, we've had some really bad experiences. We get bullied a lot. We're mostly women. And, you know, because we're mostly women, you know, it's hard to, you know, people don't necessarily respect you in the, you know, the construction space and in the building world. But, you know, we stand up to that. And, you know, we don't get bullied at all. And we support each other. And, you know, I think that's great. It's a really good dynamic. And that's what I enjoy coming to work for every day is that dynamic, the people, and just how well we are put together as a team.
And then for Kim, what's your biggest challenge at doing your job as Director of Business Development?
My biggest challenge? I thought you were going to ask me the same thing as Jessica, so I was prepared with that answer, so I'm going to give you that one first. So one of the actually biggest reasons that I changed from the job I was doing previous to CareGreen is because I wanted to focus more on sustainability, and I really loved the opportunity at CareGreen to get out and to speak that message that I personally believe, and talking to people about how they can be more sustainable in their own lives, not only through the work that we do here at CareGreen, but, you know, kind of on a personal level as well. So that's been a big positive for me. One of the biggest challenges, and I guess this is kind of a positive as well, is that working for a small company, you wear a lot of different hats. So there's definitely been multiple times where I get put in a situation where I don't really know what I'm doing, but I get to figure it out. So that's a really fun thing, but it's a challenging thing. So I think that it's a good thing for me personally and professionally along the way. So it's been fun.
And right now, are we at the stage where the consumer is driving this more than the kind of the architects and the builders?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because there's a movement at the consumer level that, again, I'll go back to social media, that consumers are saying, I don't want a straw. You know, I don't give me a straw. Don't give me plastic utensils. Consumers are getting really savvy to this ocean plastic, say no to straws thing, and they're really pushing it from that end. Those same consumers are architects and designers, so they're coming at it from the other way as well. So when we present to those architects and designers, they've seen this movement on social media, and they're really glad that there's a building products company out there that's doing something about it, right? Everyone else is just trying to sell their products. We don't walk in there trying to sell a product. We're trying to get buy into a movement. And that they have a lot more respect for than us just trying to peddle some, you know, one trick pony trying to make a buck or a commission dollar.
And your business is not kind of hyper local, right? Your clients are coming from all over the place.
They certainly are. Certainly on the social media, you're reaching everyone. So we know our efforts on social media have an impact internationally. You know, our main focus is the Southeast, but we have, you know, distribution across North America for certain product lines. So, you know, it's more important for us that we get someone's buy-in than we get someone to buy.
Right. So if philosophically they become aligned, eventually you'll sell them something.
Eventually we will, yes. And you know what? They'll buy something from one of our manufacturers or through another distributor, and that means success for the brand. And brand success means success for everybody, and that eventually will trickle down to us down the line.
So most of your time is spent educating then, right?
Yes. Yes, we spend a lot of time doing presentations. We have a dedicated person who does our presentations, and we try to find topics that are interesting to people. We present on biophilic design. That does not sell our product. That sells a concept. We present on the well-building standard. That promotes the well-building standard, not our product. And we present on lead versus well and various other topics. We present on acoustics. But we're trying to educate at a much broader level, because I don't want to walk into an architect in designer's office and feed them lunch and have them roll their eyes because I've got a thinly veiled product pitch. I want them to really think this company came in and added value. Kim and I went and covered for one of our salespeople and did a presentation yesterday. And we walked out of there and they asked us to come back in next week and do two more presentations back to back. So we know we're adding a lot of value.
Before we wrap, can you talk about the difference between lead and well building?
Yeah. Yep. So this goes back to, I mentioned a little bit, the focus on the building versus the focus on the people. So if you walk into a lead building, it could have solar panels on the roof and air filters that make the air healthier. And, you know, it could have great, you know, low flow water fixtures, and it could be lead platinum, but you would never know it. In a well building, you walk in and the light fixtures are shaped like clouds. There's organic fruits and vegetables there for you to take. There's water, fresh water filling stations. Your desk is not assigned. It's a dynamic desk. You can be in certain places. It encourages health. It's about you. So well building standard is about the people, and it's going to make those people happier. It's going to make them healthier. It's going to make them more efficient and make them want to work for you. You walk into a lead building, maybe lead's trying to get there, but they didn't start there and well did. So lead is really about the infrastructure of the building. Well is really about the people in the building. Both are achievable. Both can be done at the same time. I just think that well makes it so much more obvious to the people, because you do have those finishes that, you know, like our products that really tell that story, and you see it every day. And when you see it, you live it. And often you don't see those things in a lead building. So well has really brought the good that you're doing to the forefront and made it about the occupants. That's the main difference.
Well, Jessica and Kim, thank you so much for sharing the Kara Green story. If somebody wanted to learn more and have a more substantive conversation, what's the best way to learn more about what you're up to?
I would go to our website, www.caragreen.com. That's CARAGREEN. Or follow us on Instagram at Kara Green Products, Facebook at Kara Green NC, or on Twitter at Kara Green.
Well, thank you again for sharing your story.
Thanks for having us.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.